Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. We're so excited you're tuning into one of our amazing messages. What you're about to hear is going to be fresh, it's going to be real, and it's going to be powerful. It's going to help you to grow stronger in your walk with God. It's going to put faith on the inside of you. It's going to cause you to be able to walk in greater dimensions of blessing and enlargement so that you can be a blessing to other people. Well, lean in, enjoy the word. God bless you.
And so I want to have three beautiful ladies come up and share how prolonged seasons of dryness, how they walked through that, the lessons that they learned, so we can take away and apply those things to our own life. So would you help me welcome up beautiful Pastor Tessa, Pastor Jenny, and the beautiful Alisa De Lorenzo. Thank you, ladies. Come on up and go ahead and take your seats. Thank you so much. What a powerful night already.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Were you guys challenged by that message?
Yes.
I think we all were challenged by that message. And so we have the opportunity to hear these beautiful ladies' stories. And I'm just gonna let each one share individually. And beautiful Pastor Tessa. Pastor Tessa is known as my pink sparkly friend. Not just my friend, but everybody's pink sparkly friend. And so what I love about you, beautiful Tessa, is that a lot of people call you champagne. And when you think about it, what a beautiful description of a person. Champagne. She's bubbly, full of life, the life of the party wherever she goes. And I've always admired that about you. No matter what seasons you've walked through, you have been able, even though you've visited places of complaint, we all have, at the end, you always have your chin up and you always end with faith and a smile on your face. And I've just recently, even though the last few years, have watched you walk through a prolonged season where a dream had been unfulfilled. And watching you through that journey, I was so proud of you. And I just know so many ladies can learn so much from your story. And so I just want to ask you to share a little bit tonight about your journey and the things to do or not do when you're walking through a prolonged season of your dream being fulfilled.
Yeah. All right, great. Well, I am learning along with all of you, ladies. I have decided that I'm going to listen to Pastor Leanne's message pretty much every morning when I wake up because I think I need it. But Pastor Becky did ask me tonight to share about our journey of getting a home. It was long and unexpected. And, you know, I don't usually have a problem with faith, you know. And when you're planted in this house, all you have to do is walk through these doors, right? And you just feel hope rising and you feel faith rising. And especially if you know God's given you a word or a promise. So it was almost like a 5-year journey when we really felt like all of a sudden it was time. We literally had words from the stage from our incredible pastors about like, it's time to buy a house. I had dreams. I had specifics that I knew God had given me. And I was like, okay, it is go time. So you think, okay, if God's told me to do this, then like, it's going to happen. Like, let's go, right? But it took 5 years. And there were some ups and downs in there for sure. And we went from a beautiful little rental house that they offered to sell us. And we just said, no, I just don't think that's right. And that was the right move for us. But we said no. And we got everything in order. And we got pre-approved. And we got the best realtors in town. And we were like, okay, it's time to go. And we looked. And nothing was right. And then we just kept looking. And nothing was right. And then we made an offer. And it wasn't accepted. And we made another offer. And it wasn't accepted. And we were like, oh, this is a little more fussy than I thought it was going to be. Like, yeah, I don't like this very much. Like, we want things yesterday, right? I do. And so we got down to the wire. We literally got down to 3 days before we had to move out of our rental. And I was about to be homeless. And I'm a mother, so I know that sounds irresponsible, but I don't have time to tell the whole story. And part of it was that we had an incredible prophet pastor come through our church here. And through a series of events, she had literally told me, stop looking. You need to stop looking. You're driving yourself crazy. You and your husband are having arguments. Da, da, da. You're trusting yourself and not God. And I listened because I knew it was really a word of God for me. And I listened and I stopped looking, but I was watching the calendar get closer and closer and closer to where we had to be out of our rental because they had sold it. I helped them sell it. So we had to get out. So all of a sudden we get to that point and I'm telling you, when you get to those points, you need to be in God's house. Because I would come in here on a Sunday and I'd be like, oh, Lord, I need this. Like, you just need to give me something. Throw me a bone. Am I doing the right thing? Am I crazy? And sure enough, I would have somebody come up to me that I didn't know and be like, hey, I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you that God's got you. It's going to be okay. And I would just, you know, ugly cry and be like, it's going to be okay. And so we got down to 2 or 3 days with absolutely nowhere to go. And I had friends praying for me because I let people into my life and I was in part of a connect group and I was serving here in this house and they were praying with me. And we got our first miracle. We literally had an incredible, generous family that used to be here in our church say, you know what? I heard you need a place to live. We have an empty house. Come live here. And they were insistent. And I mean, insistent on letting us live there for free. And it was a miracle. I mean, my kids have affectionately called it the mansion because it was. It was a multi-million dollar empty house in Rancho Santa Fe that they were selling, and it was empty, and we got to live there and live the good life, and we had every sport court you can imagine and our own gym and our largest saltwater pool in Rancho Santa Fe, and it was all the things. And I was like, wow, God, you love me. And if you can do this, I know my dream house is right around the corner, right? Well, sometimes God has other plans because he's trying to get something through you. He's trying to get something in you. He knew that I was going to need faith. He knew that I needed to grow my faith muscle and I needed to trust him in certain areas. So in the meantime, while we're living our best life in the mansion, we were going into escrowing properties. We were finding houses, and we were like, oh, this is it. This has got to be it. And then, like, something would happen. Like, we swore we had an anointing where we would come into an empty house that had been sitting there for, like, a year, make an offer, and then somebody else would make an offer, and they would accept it. I was like, you're welcome. I'm selling all your homes, but nobody's selling anything to me, you know? So it was hard. Like, I was like, what the heck? Like, come on, God. Like, you told me to do this. I'm doing it the way you told me to do it. I don't understand. Like, what's going on? And we ended up being, like, in an escrow at this time. And we needed a builder to approve something in order to make it work. And sure enough, it wasn't going to work. And the builder said, this isn't going to happen. And we needed to get out of the mansion. And so we found ourselves a little condo. And I was thankful for it. It was fine, you know? I mean, we had gone from like 9,000 square feet to like 900 square feet, people. And everything was in storage, so we were like, mattresses on the floor, nothing in the kitchen, like not a real dining table, but we were like, okay, fine. You know what, God, we can do this for a little bit of time. This will be fine, it'll be an adventure. You know, I'm a mom, so I can paint it all like the way I need to paint it for the kids. And then the world decided to have a pandemic. And everything shut down, and my kids came home from school, and Charles came home from work, and everybody was trying to figure out how to be in this tiny little space, and we couldn't go anywhere. And then in the meantime, we got a cancer diagnosis, and I was like, what the heck, God? Like, it's been like 3 years. Like, why is this so hard? You know, like, I'm believing, I'm doing all the things you said I should do, you know, like, what else can I do here? And I was frustrated and I was weary and I was emotional. And in that moment of being emotional, I had to decide what I was going to do with that. Right. You know, like I had to say, okay, I can feel the emotions. They're real. I need to put them somewhere. But like, what am I going to do with them? Are they going to dictate how I act, how I respond to my kids, how I respond to my husband, you know, how I did ministry, didn't do ministry? Like, what were we going to do in this moment, you know? And then the second choice I had to make was I had to say, okay, Lord, like check my heart, check my life. Is there anything I am doing to block this blessing coming into my heart? And that's hard. You know, because I was reminded of the season before this, where even though we were planted in this house, we looked back at our years before that and realized, you know what? I don't know if we fully trusted God to be our provider. We would come into this house, we would hear, you know, story after story after story about God being our provider. I knew about tithing. You know, if you would have asked me, I would have said I was a tither. But there were months where we'd be like, oh, you know, it's kind of a hard month and there's a lot going on, God. And like, you know, And then at one point, we didn't ask wisdom, and we pledged way too much for Vision Builders, and because we got all caught up in the moment, and we didn't fulfill it. And again, it was because that was on us. Like, we didn't ask for wisdom. We didn't quite know what we were doing. And I had to say, you know what, Lord? I repent of these times where I didn't fully take responsibility for these areas of my life and lay them at your feet and totally trust you to have us as your provider and all of those things. So we, you know, got ourselves together. We moved on. We ended up from the condo to, I know, it's a lot, to just realizing that my story, even though I knew God had told me what to do, I knew God had called me to do something, I had no control over the timing that it was going to take and what God needed to do in me. I mean, 2 years ago before that, had we gotten a cancer diagnosis like that, I wouldn't have had the faith to be able to hold it. You know, I wouldn't have had the faith for the territory we are taking here at Balboa Campus. I wouldn't have the faith to probably stand up here at the altar and pray with you guys for things. I needed to go through that because I needed God to show me that that the promises were coming, even though I didn't know what it was going to look like, and I didn't know what the journey was going to be.
Come on. So amazing. Beautiful, Tessa. You know, and just watching that journey, like, there were hard times, and there were tears, and there were frustration. Yeah. Those things were real. But what I loved about watching Tessa go through that and walking through that with her, she would have those moments, but then it was almost like I didn't even need to say anything as a friend or pastor. She's like, but you know what? But God says, and God has promised, and God's going to do what he said he's going to do. I believe for the miracle home. It was like she built herself up in the faith. She would spiral into those moments, the real feelings and all of the things, but you never stayed there. You never stayed there. They were moments. And so many of us camp and build a little house down there. And then you wonder why we're miserable and we're not, you know, things aren't being fulfilled in our lives. And so that's what I just love. Like, you visited those spaces, but you walked through them. You actually walked through the valley of you didn't stay there and build a house and say, you know, so she would touch, but she always came out, and then she would always remind herself. And that's what she didn't need even so much pastoring in that moment. You needed a friend because you actually were able to lift yourself up, reading the word of God, praying and declaring his promises. And the other thing that she touched on, even just being teachable, like looking at God, what is there anything I am doing to prohibit this, you know? And that was a challenge, the full trusting God with the full tithe and all these things. And what's so beautiful about you guys, like the moment you realize that, you fully trusted the Lord. Fully. You went full faith, full trust, and you never turned back. Yeah. And you were obedient in that area. And it was pretty quickly after that, after she got her in alignment with the word of God and obedience in that area, attached with her faith and newfound trust in the Lord, that house came like that. And so what a story, what a testimony. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
I think I want to leave you with four quick things that I made sure that I learned that are lessons that I live by now. And it's four C's. And so it's, Pastor Leanne touched on it so beautifully, the complaining. Don't complain. Don't compare. Don't compromise. And celebrate others.
Wow.
Because complaining, I mean, it's a language of victim. If you complain,
it is.
You are aligning yourself with the spirit of unbelief.
Yeah.
And that spirit is never going to get you where you want to go. Ever, ever, ever. No.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. I hope you ladies are taking notes. This is so much goodness in one moment. Beautiful Elisa. So Elisa and her husband, Tony, are just two phenomenal human beings. They have been married for 25 years.
Going on 26.
Have two amazing teenage kiddos. And they have created a ministry, essentially, called One Extraordinary Marriage, and they help marriages all around the world. They have the number one marriage podcast in all of the world, not just in the United States. Yes. They've helped coach over 400 marriages from, you know, like the brink of divorce and all of the crazy things back into a place of health. And so I know their most recent book that they wrote together, The Six Pillars of Intimacy, is a book that you preached it for the first time at a marriage conference you guys shared. And I think I might have said, that needs to be a book. That changed, their message really impacted Pastor John's and my marriage. And so, you know, so now you're coaching marriages all around the world, how to recover from devastation, how to, you know, walk through things that no one would ever wish to walk through in a marriage, you know, and you are helping so many people. But there was a time in your guys' marriage where you were the ones that needed help. Yeah. So why don't you just share with us a little bit about that journey and how you walked through it?
Yeah, you know, when you talk about us being married 25 years, a lot of people clap for that, and it sounds like a really great number, and it is. But I have to say that really, like, the first 11 really aren't anything to write home about. We got married young, 22, 23, and didn't know what we didn't know about marriage, and were really dysfunctional for, like, almost all that time. Now, that's not to say we didn't have flashes of brilliance and, you know, moments where I'm like, oh, like, I'm super happy to be married. But a lot of that was, did we make the right decision? Why can't we talk to each other? Why is this so hard? Why don't I like you? I remember sitting down from Tony at one point in time, and okay, so we got married in 96, so like yellow pages. So go back in time with me. But I remember sitting across the table from my husband, and I came home from work at lunch, and I said, I've been looking up divorce attorneys. We were in a really bad spot, and part of that bad spot was Tony came into our marriage with an addiction to pornography, which I had known about, but I didn't know the devastation that it would cause our emotional connection, our sexual connection. Over those first 11 years, we would lose a child. So between those two amazing teenagers that we have is our angel, Andrew. And he was born the day after Alex's second birthday and never took a breath. We walked through these really dark seasons, and I wish we had been at Awaken. I wish we had been in a healthy church. We were both raised Catholic, and we started going to church in 2000, but the churches that we were in, oh my gosh. Yeah. Show up on a Sunday, check the box. Yeah. No Holy Spirit. Right. No community. Wow. No senior pastor saying, you know what? God's telling you, daughter, I'm picking your chin up. Mm-hmm. Wow. None of that. It was church. Yeah. Show up and sneak out the back door if you can do it quickly without even having to say hi to the pastor. And so there were a lot of things we did wrong. And I look back on that time, and it's a small miracle that Tony and I are still married.
Yeah.
When we were going through our darkest times with the pornography, I didn't tell anyone. We were totally isolated. Wow. When we lost our son, Andrew, I retreated so far back from people that it's amazing I even have friends right now, I think, because it was so dark. I didn't understand community. I didn't know how to pray. Prayer meetings like what we do on a Thursday morning were not part of my world. And I didn't know how to take the authority that God had given. And so even though the first 11 years were like this place, it still took like another, well, we've only been at Awaken for 7 years. So there was like another 6 or 7 years that we were figuring it out. But there was just, what I want to say is, you know, God is so faithful. And I'm so grateful that I'm married to a really, really stubborn man who may or may not be grateful that he's married to a stubborn wife. Just saying. Because we made a decision that divorce was not an option.
Right.
We just had to work a long time on not being miserable. And actually having a good marriage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what we've walked through with child loss, with pornography, with ridiculous amounts of death, those are, for a lot of marriages, kind of the death knell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I want to say is that if you're planted in this house, doesn't have to be.
Right.
Come doesn't on. Have to be.
Come on.
There are,
Amen.
Like, I'm looking around this room, and the community that is here, Pastor Lane, I remember you in one of the very first Cherish nights I came to, talking about Girls, if you want friends, you have to be a friend. And I am so like blown away sitting here seeing this room packed at how many friends I have in this room.
Beautiful.
Being able to share my life with them, being able to say, you know what, today's a hard day. Mm-hmm. And getting those messages, and some of you know who you are because you've been on my text thread this past week. getting those prayers of encouragement.
Yeah.
When I'm walking through tough seasons with Tony, and we still have them. Yes, we've been married 25 years. Yes, we do want an extraordinary marriage, but I'm not perfect. And I was going to throw him under the bus first, but...
And he's not either. We won't tell.
Thank you. We still have our moments.
Yeah.
But now there's a community that I can safely talk to, not to uncover him, but to seek wise counsel, right? To be in community, to say, this is hard. How do I do this?
Yeah.
And we'd never had that prior to coming to Awaken. We'd never had that walking through pornography or any of those types of things.
I want to ask, you've mentioned a few things just in that season you wish you wouldn't have isolated because you felt very isolated and you probably wouldn't have gone through such a prolonged, difficult season if you hadn't have isolated. So even just reminding us all the importance of community, you know, and supporting one another and praying with one another through these seasons, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. Yeah. And I think when we stay in isolation, we can be forgiven, but it's hard to fully be healed unless you actually come into community and get encouragement and prayer and other people help walk you through those seasons, you know, and the power of prayer. I know even the community to you and even the power of prayer was something that really restored a lot in your guys' marriage. I want to ask you this question. To learn from her story, we were saying, when we were talking, she's like, I wish I would have known all these things now and I would have done everything differently then. But how beautiful that we can actually glean from her story and not make the same mistakes of isolating and hiding the things that we're struggling with and going through, and you have a community around you that would love you and support you. Not honestly, we're not going to be shocked by anything that you say. I was a deputy probation officer in violent crimes and sex offenses. Nothing shocks me. Nothing shocks me. Hey, things got to come up.
Right.
What you keep hidden, God can't heal, you know? And so, but I want to ask this because I know it is quite prevalent. How did you manage the pornography addiction? Like, did you go to control? What did you do for yourself to get through that season? Because you can't change him. You can't make him stop and do what you want to do. So what did you do for yourself in that season where you were waiting for his breakthrough?
So a lot of time in prayer, praying for God to heal my heart because I had a broken heart when that was first revealed. I spent a lot of time looking at God's promises. Like, open your Bible and find God's promises. Like, every page pretty much has one. And reminding myself, because he wasn't in a position at that point in time to be the one to remind me of that, to be able to speak those things, because he was walking his own journey. Mm-hmm. Even though it was our marriage, we each had a journey to walk through in that healing. And it was... Like, I had a strong vision. My parents are going to be married 50 years here June 3rd. And I was like, I am not getting divorced. Like, they have set the example. Tony's parents got married 2 months earlier than my parents in the same year. Like, we've got longevity. And I wasn't going to be the one. But I needed God to remind me of the promises. I go back to Joshua 1:9 a lot. You know, be strong and very courageous. And I'm like, okay, God. Like, it's going to take all kinds of courage to change my heart. It's going to take courage to be intimate with Tony again. It's going to take courage for us to be able to have the hard conversations. But it was reminding myself not only of God's promises, but also my identity within the marriage and just as a child of God.
Amen. Amen. And I think, too, you know, a lot of us women, and we talk about these things, when things are going wrong like that in our world, what we want to do is to try, because we have so much fear about being rejected or fear of an ending marriage or whatever it may be. Right. And when we have fear in our lives, it's easy to start to control, because then you feel like, if I can control the situation or stop the situation or, you know, just
make it
be
all
that
good
helicopter wife and make everything better, it gives us the illusion
of safety, the illusion that things are going to be okay because you're controlling, but you actually, it's such a lie from the enemy. And so the only person, and this is difficult because you just want to like snap a switch and everything changes and it's all better and just say, stop it. And they'll stop it. But that's not how life works. So the only thing you can control in those situations is you. And so what do you need to do for you? She obviously needed to pray for the marriage, seek prayer and counsel and wisdom. But what did she have to do for her? She had to strengthen herself in the Lord, mm-hmm. to be in his word, to be praying, to reaching out to people for help and making sure that her identity didn't come crashing down, that if her husband wasn't speaking identity into her, she allowed the Heavenly Father to speak identity into her and her girlfriend speak identity into her to build herself up, to strengthen herself through that prolonged season of a desert season. So I'm just so proud of you guys and just what an example you are to so many marriages. And I think we can all grab a hold to hope right now, can't we? Like so much hope in all of these situations to see what they've walked through and then to see them now flourishing and thriving. And I'm just grateful we have a body of women that we can glean from, learn from, grow from, and model our lives after now. It's really, really so beautiful. Good. So thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Beautiful, Lisa. Pastor Jenny and her husband, Morgan, they are amazing. Yes, they do. And it's her birthday. Oh, she's even pouring out on her birthday. Classic Jenny. But, you know, honestly, we love you guys. And you and Morgan are such amazing examples to John and I, just your marriage, how you parent, how you love each other. They oversee our recovery ministry along with 7,000 other things. And I mean, they're literally saving lives. They are saving lives. Forever grateful for you. And what I just wanted to say about you, beautiful Jenny, is that, you know, you and Morgan's lives, you know, I think both of you and your upbringing have literally walked through hell and back. Mm-hmm. You've walked through hell and back. And I think there was a prolonged season where the enemy had quite a grip on both of you individually. And it was a really dark season and you went through the fire. But whenever I think about you guys, I think about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wow. Like these, both of them individually had walked through the fire. They were in the fire just like those three young men were. But how beautiful that story in the Bible, we see that God was actually with them in the fire. He was with them in the fire. And when they got out of that fiery season, they're just like the scripture that talks about and says, their clothes were not burned and there was not even the smell of smoke on them. You would never realize what these two have walked through in their journey because the smell of smoke is not even on them. The true transformation, beautiful power of God working in their lives. So I'm just so proud of you, beautiful Jenny.
Thank you.
I would love you just, there's so many things about your past we don't have time to go into, but I really want you to give everyone a quick, just a little bullet point of just some of the things that were a part of your upbringing and past that brought you to this place.
Okay, so very complicated. So I kind of had to write it down because it could go in many directions. But, you know, basically I grew up with two parents that were very dysfunctional, both drug addicts. So I had no model at all for a healthy relationship. I had kind of a Christian background, a very religious, with like extended family and, you know, in the church for just a very small amount of time. But I walked away from God when I was a teenager and basically went to the New Age and walked in a lot of weird, dark, you know, paths with that and got radically saved. When I was 25 years old, Jesus, I mean, did a radical miracle in my life. And, you know, I never looked back after that. So, but along that journey, you know, that dysfunction, you know, was all I knew, right? So what I chose, I was in a 7-year relationship with somebody that I was like 3 months away from getting married to, and found out that he was living a double life. I will keep it PG, but sleeping with prostitutes, men, you know, a crystal meth addict, like just all of the like nightmare situation, you know, that I had no idea about. And so it wrecked me, literally like wrecked me. And so after that, I went on a journey with God, and that was a 7-year journey. So this topic is so near and dear to me because this was my life for so long, and God did so many radical things in that journey of waiting and waiting for my husband, you know, because that was the cry of my heart, you know, and at that time, during the healing process, like, I really knew that, like, that was my idol, actually, you know? So that really, like, was the thing that I had to be healed from, that I thought that was my answer. You know, I thought that if I get married, if somebody chooses me, you know, and I'm just going to take all the crumbs, you know, and it's like, you know, it was just about being chosen, you know, and it didn't matter who chose me. So, yes, this was this is a very near and dear, you know, topic to my heart. So I'm just very honored to be able to share some of that.
Absolutely. So going through that season, ending that relationship, going through an incredible journey with God for healing and restoration and all of those things, but then feeling ready now to find your husband. Yeah. So what did you do well in that season where you were waiting for your husband, and how long when all of those things were restored and you felt ready, how long was it until you found Morgan?
So that was 7 years. God does sevens in my life, which is really interesting. But, you know, I would say that, first of all, like I said, I was walking with God, you know, like during that time. But I literally closed that room off in my house to him. I gave him no access to that part of my life of relationships. Like, I knew that this was not a good relationship. I knew that this was not, like, you know, God's will for my life. But it was... I didn't know how to let it go, because for me, again, when you carry an idol, it becomes your identity, right? So that idol was my identity. And if I let it go, I didn't know who I was. So when God actually took it from me, you know, I fell into a dark spiral, into depression, into anxiety. And, you know, I had to get on antidepressants. I was suicidal at points, you know, and it was like, that's how much, you know, that part of my life was, you know, in so much dysfunction. And I you could be that way when you're walking with God, right? Where I was, like, pretty successful. You would have seen me and had no idea, you know, that was going on in my world. But it was controlling every part of my heart. And so I know, what was the rest of your question? So what did I do well?
Yeah, I want to know what you did well during this journey of waiting, mm-hmm. and what you didn't do well.
So I would say what I did well was I let him in. I finally let God in. You know, I kind of had I did have a choice. You know, I really did like, it was kind of like this choice. I remember, like, with the people who were Christians in my life, it was like, you know, you can either keep walking down this and your life will, you know, be meaningless, you know, and your life will be chaos, or you can choose a different way. You can choose, you know, to let God into these places. So that's what I did. I let God, like, I mean, I went through a really deep season of inner healing. I got, you know, the trauma worked out, all of the wrong, you know, ideas. And, you know, God just fathered me during that time. You know, because I had a lot of father wounds. So, you know, what do? We look to other men, you know, typically to take that role, you know, and then I had somebody to take care of, you know, so I had a purpose in life. So, you know, all of these things that were just so just twisted, that the enemy did to twist, you know, what is so precious is, like, you know, a relationship with a man, like, and a husband, you know, but... So I let him in. So that was one thing. I went to counseling. I will encourage a Christian counselor to anybody, because that really allowed me to look at, you know, the things, the deep things that I needed to look at. And I basically made a decision not to settle, you know. And so I also, like, so the settling was like, I mean, it was a theology thing too, because, again, I was walking with God. You know, I wasn't in this house yet. And it basically, like, I believed that, I mean, my salvation was like, that was it. I'm going to heaven, right? So nobody ever talked about, like, that we should have victory here, you know, God, Jesus came so we have victory in this life, and that we actually, like, our lives are a testimony. Like, my life was not a testimony, just, like, surviving, you know? So I made this heart decision not to settle, and not saying that the devil didn't come, or, you know, there wasn't tests to settle, but I made that decision, and community. Yeah. That was the biggest thing. And coming into this house, honestly, like, it was everything, because my theology changed, right? I was like, wait, we actually should prosper? You know, we should actually make good decisions, and God wants, you know, us to have good things in our lives. Like, that is not taught many places. You know, it's just like, good, cool, we're going to heaven, you know, but this was, you know, so a whole combination of that was
this settling. I remember we were talking, we wanted to make sure when we say settle, because I think some of us might think different things when we hear that word. Mm-hmm. I think it's maybe more compromise.
That's a better word.
Because sometimes we misunderstand. We don't want to compromise on the things that are truly important. Do they love God? Not just, are they a Christian, but they do actually follow God? Are they teachable? Are they growing? Are they in the community of men? You know, things like that. But because some of these, the settle has gotten a little bit perverted, like to settle if they don't meet every requirement on your list.
Right,
and I think sometimes we won't settle on things that we compromise on things that we shouldn't, and then we settle for things that, so like when I'm talking about settling, it does not matter that he's 6'3".
Thank you.
You're not compromising if he's not 6'3". You're not compromising if he doesn't have a good fashion sense. You're not compromising if he doesn't drive a freaking Tesla. We're not talking about that type of compromise or settling. So people, the girls won't they have to have that, but they'll compromise on if he's fully walking with the Lord or in community. So I just want to make sure that we're not talking about settling because they don't match up all the things that really don't matter on the list.
Yes, thank you for that, Pastor Becky. Okay. It's the compromise, and I will say that, like, because I went from levels, right? So when you're healing, you're not just, you don't go like, oh, all of a sudden, like, I'm just going to desire this, you know, this Christian man that's, you know, because to me it was like, oh, that's so boring, you know, like, seriously, I'm like, why, you know, and it was interesting because I actually prayed to God that I would have somebody with a past, like, he would bring me somebody with a past, because I was like, how am I ever going to relate to somebody who's like this Christian that walked with God for so long? You know, like, they would never, like, I mean, in my head, you know, like, I know that's a lie, but I was like, they would never choose me, like, with knowing what my past was. But I, like, went from the, well, he has to believe in God. I mean, hello, like, that's, you know, but do you know what that means? Like, yeah. Like, if you say, oh, I believe in God, like, every, you know, you can find
everyone
that new age person.
That.
Everybody says
unless
that, right?
Unless you're atheist.
Yeah, I'm spiritual. So I went from that to, okay, well, I mean, if he's a Catholic, that's totally fine. And I'm not backing on Catholics. I mean, but it's just different. You know, the Catholic, that, because usually it's just religion, right? Like, to me, that's been my experience, you know, is like, that's, it's just like, oh yeah, I go to mass and I go, you know, on Christmas or whatever. To me, that's been my, you know, like, I know that there's like, you know, like born again, like, you know, people who are Catholics. But then it went from, because I remember there was a Catholic that came in my life, and then it was like, okay, wait, this is not it. And then it was, like, you know, somebody, like, I remember somebody came into my life that was like a, you know, he was actually like, was a worship pastor. You know, he was like all the things on paper, you know, but I remember, like, this is a total kind of side story really quick, but he was not a spirit-filled believer. And honestly, like, I remember I took him to church, and it was the day that I got filled with the Holy Spirit and with tongues. And he literally, like, he looked at me like when Pastor Jurgen was preaching, and he was just like, you know, like, weirded out, right? And so I was like, oh my gosh, I have to make this decision right now. Do I come? Do I, like, go up right now? Or do I, like, just, you know, like, again, like, for me, it would be compromise, you know, because I would, what does he think about me? So I went up and I got the gift of tongues, and it was like, yeah. And then it ended, right? It was like, he was like,
and then it ended.
It was awkward on the way home. And
So you went through 7 years of really, like, believing, and we talked about how painful that was at times, and crying yourself to sleep at
crying
night.
Crying yourself to sleep.
So it was a painful, like, difficult season. So share with a little bit about that, but also, what did you do right in that season to keep your peace while you were waiting on God's promises to be fulfilled?
Right. Okay, well, a couple things. I will say, ladies, enjoy your journey. That's what the thing
was,
is that I let the enemy steal my joy so much. Like, you know, it would be going to the weddings, the baby showers, the, you know, those moments when, you know, it's, you do have a decision. It's like, and I would be like, I'm really happy for you. But then I would just go home and cry. And like, God, why aren't you blessing me? Why are you doing this for everybody else? Instead of looking at like, oh my gosh, you could bless them. Wow, I can't wait till you do the same thing for me. You know, like it's, the enemy can pervert that so much where you're like looking at everybody in the comparison, you know, and it steals so much of your joy. So I had to work through that. And this is one thing that was really big. So if you've been doing this for a while and you're walking in that journey, like for me, during an inner healing process, you're like, a lot of things like God is going to reveal to you, right? And in that, like, I started to like, okay, well, if I do this, I'm going to read all the books. I'm going to give God a timeline. Oh, that's what I'm going to do. By August, my man is going to come, you know, and like, I mean, I was just, so it actually became about a formula, and I started to believe more in the, like, in what I was doing than just trusting in the one who brings the blessing. And, you know, that was something that actually, God really showed me is that, like, you can't rush this, you know, you can't manipulate God. Like, sometimes you just have to go through it. And sometimes we don't know why there's a delay. Like, you don't know why there's a delay. There's an, we don't have a lot of time. There's, you know, God showed me in, I think it's in Exodus, where, you know, God actually, like, took the Israelites around the long way. They could have went to the Philistines because that was the short way, but he actually went around the long way. And he says basically because he was preparing them for war. Yeah. He was preparing. And I look at that now and I look at my life and I'm like, oh my gosh, this was a preparation season. This was a preparation season. Like with the stuff that, with the amazing things that like me and my husband get to do, you know, with recovery, you know, and just with the people that we get to minister to, you know, I first of all, I would not have been prepared for my husband. If you guys all know my husband, he's amazing and intense and, you know, he's...
So when you were ready, was Morgan ready?
Well, I will say that if God would have brought us together even a couple years earlier, it wouldn't have been ready. He wouldn't have been ready. I believe I was ready. Like I had been ready for I believe a couple years, you know, and that's when it was like getting difficult because it was like, well, I feel so healed, you know, why aren't you doing anything? But I will say that like your healing and your breakthrough and your waiting isn't always about you. Yeah. It's actually, there's other, especially when it's about a husband, right? There's other things that are worked out that you don't know about, you know? So I didn't know that, you know, the things that he was walking through, you know, and it was the perfect, God is never late. He is always on time, always on time.
Well, I love it. If you could give all the girls who are in a waiting season right now one last thought, what would you share?
Wow.
I know we could talk
there's
about
so much.
These things all night, but...
I mean, a lot of these things, like I said, is like, first of all, don't compare yourself. Like, you have a specific journey. You guys, every single one of us have a specific journey. You're going to be speaking to people in the future, you know, about what you've walked through. And you're going to walk through it differently than other people. Like, you know, what I minister to people, like, you know, I can't minister to what you minister to, you know, or Pastor Tessa, you know, or Pastor Becky. Like, we all have our own journeys and they're beautiful. Even if it doesn't look like, you know, the person to your left or to your right, you know, even in like relationships and marriage, you know, it's like I was 37 when I got married, you know, and to me it was like, oh my gosh, my time is up. And that's what the enemy was telling me. But, you know, and it really, like, I look at it now, I'm like, thank God. Like, now I get to, you know, I got to go through all of that. And now, like, I'm in this really sweet season. Yeah. But before it was like, you know, something that was very, like, I felt like God was like, withholding from me, you know, but I will say, enjoy this because you will never get this back. Like the intimacy that I built with God, I will never, like, I would take that and all those tears and crying myself to sleep
a million times over because of how I know God now and how he came through for me and the miracles. Like, if you look at my life, like the miracles that he did in my life and where my life is now, like, it is literally unbelievable. So just remember that, like, you are on your own journey and God loves you and God is not withholding from you. And sometimes you just got to do the work, though, too. You got to do the work and let him heal you and let him, you know, pull those things out that are holding you back.
Amen. Amen. So good. What incredible women, incredible testimonies. You know, I think it was like a little bit of a theme, you know, that kind of came out with all three of the ladies just in the season of waiting, you know, and I think we can't always, we don't get to choose when the promise is fulfilled or when the dream comes or the marriage or the spouse or the house or anything that we're believing for. The only thing we really have control over is how much joy we have in the waiting season. And that's up to us. And I think when we're waiting for these promises to come and be fulfilled that God promises for us, I think what would be a tragedy is to finally get the promise, the fulfillment of the promise, and realize you wasted 7 years miserable waiting for the promise that God already, he said was going to happen for you. So in the waiting season, can we wait with joy? Can we wait with our chin up? And when our chin falls down, can we actually ask someone to help us lift it again? Remind us of the promises God has for you. Remind us of the good things that are coming. Because like Pastor Jenny was saying, God loves you so much. He is not withholding from you. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to bless your life. He wants all these things for you. And so we just have to remember, the only thing we really get to choose is how we wait. Yes. And I think we have every tool to wait being filled with joy when we're in the Word of God, when we're praying, when we surround ourselves with women that can come alongside of us. And I just want to pray right now, if we all just stand to our feet. I just actually really feel to pray over any lady who has, whether no matter what age, maybe you're in here and you're 12, 13, 14, 75, 85. I do not know. I just actually want to pray into, I just really feel that there is a lot of fear around your future. There's a lot of fear around even what's going to happen after high school. Like, what are God's plans for me? Is everything going to work out? Am I going to get into the college? Will I ever get married? Will these things happen? And your mind is really busy with things. And I just want to remind you, ladies, tonight that God has a plan that is immeasurably more than all you could ever hope for yourself. It's better than the best thing you can imagine. And that is a promise for each and every one of you in here. Nothing you have done excludes you from that promise. God loves you. God loves you. And you don't have to fear the future. But what he's wanting you to do is to lean into him tonight, to trust him fully with every single area of your life. So I just want to pray, if that's you, there's fear around your future, whatever area of life it is, if you would just lift your hand up and I just want to pray over you. And if the ladies that their hands are lifted, if you see someone, just put your hand on their shoulder as if you're almost like reminding them that it's going to be okay. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for this moment. Lord, I thank you for every single woman with their hand lifted. God, I thank you that they are surrendering their hopes and dreams to you in this moment. God, we remind ourselves, God, that you are trustworthy. God, that you are for us, that you have a plan, a future, and a hope for our lives individually. Not the person next to us, not my best friend, not my girlfriend, not these other, that you have a plan and a purpose for my life. Let him remind you of that tonight, that it's immeasurably more than all you could ever hope for or imagine. The Bible says he wants to give you the desires of your heart, that he loves you, that he's for you. So God, I thank you right now as we remind ourselves of how much you love us and the plans that you have for us. God, I just smash that fear that has hovered over their lives. The worry I see running through their minds as they lay their heads down on their pillow. The what if questions. What if it doesn't happen for me? What if God doesn't come through? What if I never get? I just bind up those lies in Jesus' name. And I crush those lies. He's the father of lies. I say you are not allowed to speak those things into these children of God. I declare right now that your future is bright, that it is full of the hopes and the dreams that you've believed for, that God has a plan, that God's timing is always perfect. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, these women, they're going to put their chin up. They're going to smile at their future, God, knowing that you are smiling over them. So Lord, I thank you right now that fear is being removed from their hearts and their minds right now. God, that we can trust you in any area of our lives. Lord, and we thank you for this community of women, Father, that you have given us to do life with, to encourage one another, to lift each other up. So God, I thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Ladies, I just want to end the night just reminding you that we have so much hope. We have so much hope in a God because he loves us and he loves you. There is so much hope, and I hope you realize that these ladies' stories tonight, what they have walked through, put yourself in their place. Wherever you find yourself in these stories, know that one day you're going to be on the other side of that desert season, that you will be in your spring season, that spring of life, and you're going to remember this moment where you reminded yourself of God's promises over you. So ladies, we love you so much. Yes, they're taking the furniture. I didn't know if there was a security issue. I wasn't sure. You never know these days. People are crazy. Ladies, one last thing before we move on to the party, and this is really important. This is actually something we did want to do. If you are in here and you connected with one of their stories, you're believing for the house, you're believing for a restored marriage, or you're believing for your spouse, can you just lift your hand up? And we just want to declare some things over you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you right now. God, we prophesy and we declare that your promises are for them. We prophesy and we declare that it is your heart that these women have territory to take territory. I declare that finances are coming into your hands to take homes in the city of San Diego. What the man says is impossible is possible with God. Remind yourself that everything is possible with the Lord. So that if you are believing for a home and you are believing for a breakthrough, I release miracle homes right now in Jesus' name. I release miracle finances over homes in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare that you are territory takers. You are territory takers in this city. God has not called you to move to another place where it's more reasonable, makes sense in your mind. He is telling you, ladies, to stand firm, to plant your roots down deep, and God will come through with that home. If you're believing for that, give God a shout of praise right now. We praise him in the waiting. We praise him in the breakthrough. We praise him for his promises. We praise him for what's to come. If you're believing for a spouse right now, lift your hand up nice and high. God, I thank you right now. God, the joy is returning where those have been bound by worry and fear and the what ifs, and you cry yourself to sleep at night because the pain is real. God created you to have a spouse. God created you for this. He doesn't create you for the longing and the desire and then punish you by withholding that from you. God loves you. I declare joy is returning right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak joy and life and hope. I speak that this season you will live it in the fullness of joy that God would have you live it, that you don't wait to enjoy your life until, I prophesy right now, you will enjoy your life in the waiting season. Lord, surround these women with other women, God, to encourage them, to believe with them, to pray for them, and we will not lose heart and we will not lose hope. I declare what the Word of God says, that he will give you the desires of your heart. Remind yourself of that today. Ladies, what I want you to do right now, picture yourself. I know this. Some of you have done this and it has brought moments of pain, but we are going to reverse these moments of pain with a moment of joy. I want you right now, ladies, to picture yourself in the most gorgeous, beautiful wedding dress. Picture your hair. Picture the dress. Picture the flowers. Picture you strolling down that aisle with that man looking at you, waiting for you to call you his bride. I want you to picture that right now, ladies. God, I thank you for the visions that you are giving these women. They will be the most beautiful bride, the most beautiful bride, and they'll have a beautiful, flourishing marriage. It has been worth the wait. It is worth the wait. It is worth the wait. You will be brides. You will be brides. I declare it. I prophesy right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And for those marriages that are struggling, we call what has been dead to come back to life. We speak to hearts that have been broken, and we declare that they are going to be mended in the mighty name of Jesus. Where there has been tears and wounding, God is coming in with his thread and binding up those wounds and healing the brokenhearted. I declare right now that God is speaking to your spouse. God is speaking to your spouse. God, we pray that angels would descend, Father God. Your Holy Spirit would fall on their hearts right now, Lord Jesus. And as they are here tonight, Father, they could feel a longing for reconnection in their marriage. I'm prophesying right now. Some of you ladies are going to go home. You're going to have a smile on your face. You're going to walk into that house. You're not going to be angry that the dishes are still in the sink. You're not going to be angry that the spaghetti pan is on the counter with spaghetti splots splattered all over your freaking stovetop because no one knows how to clean up after themselves. I'm just saying, you're going to walk home. You're going to have a smile on your face, and you're going to walk up to your man, and you're just going to give him the biggest hug, and you're going to give him the biggest kiss. You, even if he's angry when you walk in the door, you just give him a snuggle and you squeeze his little tushy and you give him a little kiss and say, tonight is your night, babe. It's the word of the Lord. It's the word of the Lord. Sometimes we have to go first. Sometimes we have to go first. We got to swallow our pride and go first, ladies. And I'm believing that God's going to do a miracle in your marriage. His heart is breaking just like yours is breaking. Oh, but God, he sees. He sees and he knows. And I want you to know something, ladies, that he loves your spouse even more than you do. He loves your spouse more than you do. And he is faithful. And the Bible says that God pursues us until our very last breath. Just know and trust that God is pursuing your spouse. He's pursuing your spouse. Even now, you don't have to worry. You don't have to control. While the other thing is the word of the Lord as well, do all the things. Ladies, it's time for you to stop. Stop worrying. Stop trying to control. Stop trying to convince him to come to church, to do all the things. You need to be still. God doesn't need to get involved if you're involved. Let God get involved. He's the one that's going to draw him to Jesus. And when he's drawn to Jesus, watch the repairing happen. Let go, let God. And every time you're worrying, you look to Jesus and say, God, you've got him. You're pursuing him. Even when I don't see it working, even when I don't feel that it's working, I know it's working. Because you love him, you love me, and you love the idea of our marriage. So let go, ladies. Let God. He's got it. He's got it. Let's just give God a huge shout of praise for what he's done tonight.
Wow. What an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen. For more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com. Or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.